Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner, too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Week one has come and gone, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. We are back, and I'd say we're better than ever, but if you know me by now, I'm a Steelers fan, so we're not better than ever. It was a rough game for at least one of the guys on this show, but it's going to be a lot of fun this season. I can't wait to get it rolling. We had a lot of names to cover, a lot of headlines, so I'm not going to bore you with some same old intro. Let me just introduce my co-host, Mario Adamo, same as last year. We're going to take you through the waiver wire, the headlines, try and cover everything that happened week one, get you ready for week two. But we're not alone. This year, we are joined by one of the newest members of our QB List family, Brian Hartman. He'll be joining us every week to break down what we saw and get ready for week two. So, Brian, thanks for coming on board. How'd you guys week ones go?
Thanks for having me, man. Stoked to be here. Excited to talk about this week one. Hopefully we can push away all the negativity that we saw, all the goose eggs that were dropping all over my lineups. But, you know, I won a handful of leagues. Lost a lot of them, too. But, you know, that's why you're in so many leagues. You know, it's a shotgun approach. You make sure you get at least a couple wins each week.
Nice. Yeah, volume shooter. Yes. How's it going, everybody? I'm keeping up with my tradition. I don't check my leagues. That's my superstition until I wake up in a cold sweat Tuesday morning, 3 a.m., and that's when I check after all the scores have settled. But I know in at least one league I got Cowboys defense, so I'm feeling pretty good about that one. And my Birds won. We talked about your Steelers. You know, my Birds, I won't say they look good, but at least they spoiled Tom Brady's retirement celebration night.
Yeah, I know maybe one or two people on our staff who would not have been pleased about that. But you know what? I was happy to see Tom Brady's retirement little ceremony be spoiled. But rough week. I happened to go against Tyreek Hill in a league. So if you did that, sorry, buddy. I think we know how things are going to go. And then I had my goose egg from T. Higgins in the staff league. So those leagues, not so well. But the majority of my leagues, pulled away with the W, so can't fully complain about that. But like we said, we're getting ready for week two. We're going to recap what we saw first, take away some of our big headlines. So let's start from the beginning, just some of our biggest takeaways. And Brian, since you're a new guy, we'll let you kick us off. Your biggest takeaway from week one, one of the biggest headlines from the week.
Well, if we're going to start with a new guy, we're going to start with a few new guys. I want to talk about the rookie quarterbacks we had, because wow, what a show Anthony Richardson put on. The Colts kept it competitive. That defense definitely, they kept that team in the game. But Anthony Richardson came out and did exactly what we wanted for fantasy. He put up yards. He put up, he threw a touchdown. That was more than I expected to see week one. But he looked electric out there. And wow, if that offensive line's not terrible, that's going to be exactly what we need for our fantasy success with Anthony Richardson. As far as the other two rookies, we had Bryce Young. Oh, man, they traded everything to move up for him, but what they did is they gave up everything. DJ Moore was, he was needed. When Hayden Hurst is the highlight of the receiving core out there, he's got rough sledding ahead of him. And then CJ Stroud, can't wait for next year. I guess that's my biggest takeaway. That team's rough. It's going to be hard for him. He's going to have some growing pains, but I think he will be the quarterback of their future.
Definitely. And just piggybacking off the rookie quarterback, so here's a fun little stat for you. So Bryce Young's loss means that the last 15 quarterbacks selected first overall are winless, a combined 0-14-1. The last rookie quarterback to the last quarterback taken first overall to win is David Carr back in 2002.
That's sad.
That's insane. That's I mean, I know number one picks have bad teams around them, but you'd think one of them would be able to pull that
one
out.
One of them would just sneak into
unbelievable.
Something. Yeah. You know,
I was a good measly 5 years old at that point, so we'll put that into perspective. But yeah, like you said, Richardson was incredibly impressive. If he's for some reason out there in your leagues, go get him right now, because he's going to be starting sooner than later. It makes me, having a couple shares of Michael Pittman, feel a lot more confident. I took a late shot because he had because of good value. I'm confident with that now. And we got the news that Jonathan Taylor may actually come back after week five, after he's off the pup. So we'll see if he does make it back. Not saying the Colts will be a good team overall, but they'll at least be fruitful for fantasy. And that's what we're looking for today. So we'll over
you're
to you,
with my
Mario.
Emotions here.
Listen, I got to take some shots when I can. We just lost 30-7. So if I'm going to be going down, I'm taking some others down with me. But Mario, let's move over to you, the only winner on this week's show. What's your biggest takeaway or one of your biggest headlines from this week?
Yeah, one of my biggest headlines. I feel like it's just one of the biggest in fantasy as well. But J.K. Dobbins out, tore his ACL. Absolutely brutal. You hate to see it. He was banged up last year. Week one, you never want to see injuries, especially week one with a man, young man with so much promise. So hate to see it, especially for Ravens fans. But so where does that leave you? So where does that lead? If you probably had him on your team, you're looking now for a replacement. So it seems like it makes the most sense to start with that same team, the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe you're torn between Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. They each had 8 rushing attempts. Edwards went for 32 yards. Justice Hill went for 9 with the 2 touchdowns. So I did a little breakdown. I was just looking at the snap count after Dobbins got hurt. So Gus had all 8 of his carries to Hill's 6 carries after Dobbins left the game. And Ravens also started 4 of their 5 drives with a Gus run after Dobbins got injured. So I thought that was interesting. It seemed like they really trusted him in the early game situations. But what stood out to me was that Hill got 2 straight carries inside the Texans' 10-yard line, which led to one of his 2 touchdowns. But in another twist, after Hill got his first rushing touchdown, Gus got the 2-point conversion. So it's just like, which one of these guys do they trust in these big situations, right? So you're probably wondering, who do I target? You have the number one pick, or who you're blowing all your fab on. I don't know, call me, like, maybe I'm just leaning the cliche, like I like the name, but like I'm leaning towards Justice. So that's where I'm going right there.
Brian, what about you? What's your read on this backfield now without J.K. Dobbins?
Out of the two, I definitely agree with Mario there. I like Justice Hill, I think, out of the two of them. But my biggest fear is we just saw Melvin Gordon come off the practice squad. Mm-hmm. So he's coming in. Inevitably, they're going to sign somebody else, whether it be just another depth piece or somebody to compete for, you know, a rotational side. You know, I can't remember. Did Kareem Hunt work out with Baltimore this year? I don't remember.
I
don't.
I don't think so.
But like he's been floating out there. He's interviewed with, you know, multiple teams over the offseason. So like he's inevitably going to get signed. So I guess my biggest fear is, are these the running backs that I want to spit, you know, bust all my fab on? If I want to go big on a week one guy, do I want to put it on, you know, question mark with this now ambiguous backfield, or am I going to want to slide to something who, yeah, maybe we'll talk about later, like a Kyren Williams, who might be, you know, the guy back there. But I don't know. It scares the hell out of me. I think this is going to be broken up into a committee for sure.
Yeah, I think at the very best, one of these guys is going to turn into a mid-tier RB2 or something. None of them are going to have the RB1 upside we were looking for with J.K. Dobbins. Like you said, there's going to be such a committee. And knowing Baltimore, I just see a Kenyon Drake signing here. Someone that doesn't get excited. It's not going to be a Kareem Hunt or a Leonard Fournette or someone who could be fantasy viable. It's going to be another veteran like a Melvin Gordon who's going to sign there and just make a four-person committee that's going to make us tear our hair out. So very disappointing. I know we've all, before the show, we're talking about it, we had some shares of J.K. Dobbins this year. So sad, especially in a contract year. Hopefully he can get himself on track and earn some money, prove that he's worth the contract he was looking for going into the season. But we'll still go on with the headlines because, like I said, it was a busy week one, and we're recording this as the Monday Night Football game is kicking off. So if anything big happens there, we'll try and cover it, or we'll see plenty of it on Twitter. But Brian, let's kick it back to you. Your second headline from this past week.
Ooh. I think it had to have been, like, despite it probably being one of the least favorite games to watch this week, but it was the Bengals and the Browns. Wow. I had high hopes for the Browns. I saw them finishing second in that division. I just really had a great feeling about them. And I don't know how much the weather plays into it. Burrow not getting to, you know, practice a lot in the preseason, but wow, that defense looked great. Zadarius Smith and Myles Garrett out there is just an incredible pass rush. And Burrow looked off target on a lot of those passes. You know, we saw T. Higgins go 0-for-8. First time we've seen a player since, 2016, I think. It was Amari Cooper. It's the last time we've seen a guy go 8 or more targets and 0 catches. It was just horrendous. Even Jamar Chase just couldn't get it done for fantasy. Joe Mixon, just nothing. And now we've seen the Bengals. I want to say they've dropped they've only won one of their last six games, their opening of the season. So, you know, we saw them last year have a rocky start and they picked it together. But I don't know. I've never been a fan of Zach Taylor. He's been a Cliff Kingsbury-esque, Josh McDaniels-esque coach. He, you know, one of those, like, almost, you know, you landed on third, but you claim you hit a triple. No, you got Joe Burrow back there. You lucked out. I don't think that he has the ability to elevate this team past what we see in Burrow's talent. You know, kind of like we saw, I'm a Colts fan here, but Andrew Luck, he elevated that team to higher potentials than what that team should have hit. I feel like he actually ruined the team in a sense because he cheated us out of better draft picks because he outplayed by multiple wins. And I think that's what Burrow's done. He can play to a higher level. And I don't know. I think that there's going to be a demise here as the money dries up and they actually have to start, you know, playing well and being coached well.
Oh, man, I love that. Oh, yeah, I was going to jump in. I was going to say, like, I love that take just because we kind of saw this last year, too, with Cincinnati. They started off 0-2. I forgot who they lost the opener to, but then they lost Dallas week two. But then after that, Cincy tore off a 14-2 run, including the playoffs. And maybe some of that is Joe Burrow just kind of working his magic, covering Taylor's mess. But I'm just still – they always seem to lose to Cleveland. Like, I think Burrow has maybe one win against Cleveland, if any. So it's just, for whatever reason, he can't win in the sunny Cleve. But I'm not sweating too much if I'm the Burrow manager, which I am in one of my leagues. So maybe that's why I'm in denial. But it's just, I'm not sweating too much about this offense just yet. I think, like you mentioned, Burrow missed – this was his preseason. I kind of think they get it together week three – and forward, there are fours.
Maybe just some of that elvish magic that the Browns have.
Oh my gosh! And like to call them the elves and then lose—that's a tough look. But he owned up to it. He said we lost to some elves.
As a Steeler fan, I've seen plenty of Baltimore material. Juju Smith-Schuster, Browns is the Browns comment. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh no. Oh no! But I will say, Steelers play the Browns on Monday Night Football, and I'm officially scared for that game now after seeing what they did to Joe Burrow. I have some Najee shares. I don't know if I'm going to be starting him. I'm a little worried about that matchup, but we'll cover all of that throughout the week during our start sit episodes with start sit article. I'll actually be breaking down the Steeler Brown game for start sit. So stay tuned as I make my decision on that, because at this point I have no clue what I want to do with him, but we'll, we'll talk about that all then more as those episodes come on out. But Mario, we'll head over to you for your second headline from this past week.
Yeah. My second headline was that the Vikings, they're back down to reality. They're going to lose one score games this year. I know last year they were kind of, what was it? 11-0 in the one score games. They just seemed like they had the magic. I think this year, Minnesota, the curse of Minnesota just seeps into this team. We've already seen it. So they lost this one score game, lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers by 3 points, 20-17. Kirk lost two fumbles in the first 10 minutes. So maybe you're a little bit worried about him if he's your quarterback. I have some waiver options. But yeah, it's just this team's going to be back down to reality. And on the flip side, giving the Buccaneers their flowers, I know there was some drama. Mike Evans didn't get his contract signed. There's been doubts about Baker supporting strong wide receiver one candidates. For instance, he wasn't too good with OBJ. He never really seemed to click in Cleveland or his small time in LA. But it seems like the week that Baker can support Mike Evans this year, even though there was some doubts. And yeah, the Vikings, it's only week one. You know, Justin Jefferson still got his, but I'm a little hesitant there. And Madison, I mean, people thought Madison might just be the next cook, and it seems like he is, which is a good showing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he played 46 snaps to Ty Chandler's 11, which was a great sign.
Yeah, just dominating the ball.
I also like two out of that game. So you had KJ Osborne, who played over Addison. He had 12 more routes run, 22 more snaps, but they still finished with six targets each. I was scared to play Addison in week one. Just, you know, it's rookie wide receiver, takes him a little bit. Dumbest thing I could have done probably this week.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for Addison the rest of the season.
You talk about the rookie running backs or the rookie quarterbacks. I'll talk about some rookie wide receivers. Just headlining off that, Addison looked awesome. Zay Flowers, impressive as heck. I was very out on him in terms of drafts. I called him a bust on a division preview with Eric for the AFC North. Yeah, I'll take that on the head for that one. He's going to be great, and I'm going to be moving him up my rankings pretty quickly for this coming week. So I don't know if I'll get him into my top 30 or so, but he's getting right up there very soon. So very exciting stuff. And like I said, Addison, Mims was always an interesting session, but rookies receiver so far, two thumbs up. It's been a good start to their careers for a lot of them. But Brian, we'll wrap it up with three big headlines. I'm sure we'll get to more as we break down the waiver wire options. But what's your final, I guess, big takeaway from this past week?
Oh, you know, I hate to go back to the Colts game. I feel like it's just the homer in me coming out. But wow, you guys saw Calvin Ridley out there this week, right? Wow, yeah. Seven catches in the first half. Like, that is Trevor Lawrence's new best friend. I think that is the key to him leveling up this year. You know, we talk about the, you know, the A.J. Brown to Hurts and, you know, all these, you know, elite wide receivers going to these quarterbacks. I think Ridley is going to help give Lawrence that huge step up because we saw Christian Kirk was nowhere to be saw out of this. He played majority of his snaps in the slot. So when they're running two wide receivers, it's Zay Jones and Calvin Ridley out there. Which it was nice to see Zay Jones. Like, he might still be a wide receiver flex play this year, surprisingly. Like, I don't want to do it. It's ugly. It's gross. I'm not going to advise people to do it, but that might just be dumb. That might just be dumb. Swallow your pills. Take your points right there. This Jacksonville team is for real, and I think they're going to finish as a top 10 offense.
Yeah, that touchdown catch Zay Jones made was – it's only week one, so catch of the year, sure, but it's going to be quickly in that conversation for catch of the year, even when we get to week 7, 8, something like that. That was incredibly impressive. Someone said it looked like George Pickens. Well, I watched a lot of George Pickens this past week. He wasn't making a catch like that.
That's for sure. Oh, shit.
So, no, it's just a very salty Steelers fan this morning, so I'll get over it when we maybe play the Browns, and I'm recording a live podcast from watching the Steelers. That can't go wrong next week, right?
Right.
But Mario, what's your final major headline from this past week?
Yes, my final major headline was just, I was very impressed with Tua. There was some injury concerns. So it looks like his offseason jujitsu paid off. He was the quarterback. I think he was the quarterback one this week. I'll have to double check that.
Yeah, anyway, he is.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, before Monday Night Football, at least, you know, knock on wood. But yeah, so he looks great. Tyreek Hill, I mean, we knew the talent was there, but good Lord, 15 targets, 2 touchdowns, tons of receiving yards. So I was just very impressed by Miami. That division, the AFC East, is just, it's a bloodbath, and I'm very excited to watch that division. As an outsider looking in, I'm very happy. You know, NFC East is also going to be pretty competitive based on the Cowboys. Maybe not the Giants based, you know.
I was going to say between two teams, maybe.
But absolute bloodbath in the AFC East.
You don't want to call a Commanders contender after they beat the Cardinals? You don't
want They did beat the Cardinals.
They got the win.
The Cardinals beat themselves.
Well, that's also true. They got the – we're 1-0. We'll say that. Who got
they're
the win?
1-0?
It's a question.
You take it.
There's a win next to their name because of them or the Cardinals. I don't know, but sure. Yeah. No, that was a rough game to watch, that's for sure. I'm glad for the 5 fans who actually sat through it. But other than that, we had other games that were piquing our fancies. But we'll move over to the waiver wire portion of this episode. I'm sure at the end of the show, we'll hit a couple more takeaways, but we want to make sure we highlight some of the more interesting names for this past week because there are a lot of guys to cover. We broke down the Ravens backfield at the beginning of the show because of the injury to J.K. Dobbins. But just another headline in terms of running back injuries. Austin Eckler is apparently dealing with an ankle injury. This came out today. Brandon Staley doesn't fully know his status for this coming week for practice, so monitor that situation closely. So you may have some running backs you will need to replace, whether it's J.K. Dobbins, Eckler, or just underperforming guys like Rashad White, like Cam Akers, like Najee Harris. But again, we'll cover the start-sit implications of that throughout the week. But in terms of waiver wire, there are a lot of exciting names. So Mario, let's start with you. Who is you outside of the Ravens backfield? Who is your number one priority for running backs?
Cool. Put me on the spot here. There's a few guys I like. We did talk about the Baltimore backfield. I don't think that's my favorite pickup this week. So I think I'm going to go with there's 3 I really like. It's close. And this guy is at the 56% rostered in Yahoo, but 44% ESPN. So I felt comfortable putting him here. That's Tyler Allgeier, the Alligator. I was the one that wrote the start sit for the Carolina-Atlanta game this past week. I said that his role would be completely faded. Bijan is the truth. Like, you know, this guy's not even rosterable. I was dead wrong. They're very clearly easing Bijan into the NFL. They don't want to just, they got their shiny new Corvette. They don't want to just crash, you know, right out the gate. So Allgeier, he played 29 snaps to Bijan's 33. He had 15 rush attempts, 75 rushing yards, and 2 touchdowns. Also caught all 3 of his targets for 19 yards. He's rostered in about half of the leagues, but like I said, he's probably the number one running back I'm targeting. The little downside, I will just say caveat, is as the season progresses, there's a chance that his role kind of gets diminished as Bijan's role increases, but he's a rookie. I don't think the Falcons are going to run him into the ground. I think they're kind of work this two-headed monster, kind of like a Chubb Hunt situation Cleveland's run in the past. So I'd say Allgeier is my number one for running back targeting.
Yeah, and before we move over to the next running backs. Big story out of this Monday night game that just happened as we're recording this. Aaron Rodgers has gotten taken to the sideline and is apparently being carted to the locker room now. So one game into the Aaron Rodgers era in New York.
Not to be insensitive here. He's hurt. I hope he's okay. But is this not the most Jets thing ever?
It is.
But the cart coming out on Monday night. Oh my gosh. I mean, this is why we want to turn our injuries off, right? Like, this is why we're unanimous. Yeah. Injuries off.
We'll all know at least some of the stats as we're listening to this episode in terms of did he make it back into this game? But boy.
Yeah, please tell us, listeners.
That has some big fantasy implications that we're going to have to cover, and it will be covered online. So we'll keep a close eye on it and react accordingly. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers off, and back to the running backs. I would agree with you. Tyler Allgeier had an extremely impressive workload, and I know there's easing Bijan in, and Bijan will still be Bijan. He'll still be the top 5 running back you drafted him to be. But the way they run the ball, wouldn't shock me if they can make both of these guys fantasy relevant. So I think Allgeier is very well deserving of, if not being the one two in terms of priority. Brian, would you agree, or is there someone you would have above Algier in terms of your priority?
You know, I don't hate it because, you know, it makes total sense for them to be splitting up the amount of the backfield there. But Kyren Williams, man, he did something for me out there. This Rams team looked so much more impressive. I'd probably be tossing them to the side here, honestly, if they didn't win so impressively. They won it on offense and defense. This was going to be a bottom five, bottom eight team if they're lucky, I thought, in offense. And I think they might have something here. Like, Sean McVay made it very obvious last year that he did not like Cam Akers. He wanted him out of there. They had arguments. Like, there was so much. It was such a tumultuous situation. And now we're just thinking, like, they got over it and they don't care. Like, I don't know. You know, maybe we should have seen more of this coming. But I really like Kyren Williams as a top running back pickup this year. What about Josh Kelly? Where are you guys on that? Just maybe seeing that Eckler's got an ankle injury. Like, is he somebody that in that mix, yeah, too?
If we hear more about Austin Eckler, if there's any implication that Eckler will be out, Kelly will be a higher priority for me than the Ravens running backs, for sure. Just because we know there's going to be that mix. The Chargers, at least in my mind, the Ravens, Chargers we know will go to Kelly. They don't have that mix that the Ravens have. The Ravens have three, for maybe sure, four guys by the end of this week we're going to mix in. So yeah, if Kelly's still out there, I'm 100% putting, I don't know if like a huge amount of fab or anything on it, because it could just be a 1 week thing, but he's definitely a priority in terms of going to get the starting running back for the Chargers, even if it's just a 1 week absence. But again, sure, monitor that Eckler situation closely. Mario, I want to kick it over to you too, as the resident Eagles fan, because we have Kenneth Gainwell on this list. It seems like last year, every week we were naming another Eagles running back, and it seems like this season's going to be all the same. Rashad Penny was the healthy scratch. It's in that DeAndre Swift was going to lead the backfield in touches, right? Nope. Kenneth Gainwell got 14 out of 16 carries. Try and make sense of this for us, please.
Yeah, this, a couple of perspectives here. So not only as an Eagles fan, but also as the Swift manager last year. So I watched a lot of Swift shenanigans. I kind of gaslit myself into believing he has the talent that the Lions just don't like him. And maybe that's the truth, but I don't know. Part of me is kind of thinking that this is just Gainwell's been there last year. You know, Swift and Penny are both new guys on the squad. So it makes sense that the guy that's been there before is going to be the one who gets involved into the system first. But, I mean, 41 snaps compared to Swift's 19. I would just think that he is Swift into it a little bit heavier. We talked about this, the difference in rushing attempts, 14 to 1. Absolutely blew Swift out of the water. And people spent, you know, 6th-round picks on Swift. Like, he was pretty highly drafted, I'd say, versus Gainwell, who is rostered in 47% of Yahoo leagues, 22% of ESPN leagues. So you could just see almost a quarter of all ESPN leagues. Oh, he's available. So I will say there is a downside here where, you know, you have Hurts is still kind of always a threat to steal the rushing touchdowns. And it is a new system, so maybe, you know, week 5 by then and on, Penny and Swift are going to be more heavily involved. And you know that Boston Scott's going to get his against the Giants, so it's not worth starting Gainwell in those two games. But I do really like Gainwell as a potential spot. If you're in a deeper league, if you know that you're not going to get Algier or Williams, I do like Williams a lot, but it's just hard to trust Rams running backs after the whole debacle last year of the Henderson, the Akers. I'm not sure, but I like Gainwell as a potential target this week.
Yeah, so let's, before we move over to the wide receivers, what three of us, what's rank our three priorities if we had to prioritize it, just for our listeners who are just looking to just figure out which claim. We'll start with you, Brian, your top three priorities in terms of adding a running back this week. Or for rest of the season, however you want to look at it.
Ooh. Yikes. I'd probably go Kyren Williams, Kenneth Gainwell, and then actually a guy we didn't even mention. I think Roschon Johnson needs to be thrown into the mix as well. He saw the pass catching work out of that backfield. He is the rookie that has been drafted by these you know, this new regime that they've got in there. So, you know, I think anything can happen. I think we might be chasing backs just like we do in Philadelphia and Chicago, but I'm all for it. I saw, you know, we saw some great work from him, so I definitely think he should be in consideration this week as well.
Love that. Yeah, if you,
If you need someone to start for this week, definitely it's not Roschon Johnson, but stashing wise, Roschon Johnson has as much upside as anybody on this list. I would agree. It's one we didn't mention, but that's a good throw out there. He's that angry run that was posted by Mike in our Discord, one of our resident Bears fan. Oof, that was impressive. He had some angry runs. So Khalil Herbert didn't do anything too impressive. Deontay Foreman, and will probably end up hurt in another week or two. So I think Roschon Johnson has a great chance to take over that backfield.
And I'll say for my three, I'd say number one is probably Joshua Kelly, especially if Eckler is going to miss this week. I see Kelly kind of like that Madison to Cook situation where he is just the guy that's going to get a majority of the work there. After that, I may say Algier. I do think his role is going to be diminished as Bijan kind of takes over that backfield, but the Falcons just love running the ball so much that I think that even in that situation, he's going to get enough volume to at least be a flex borderline RB2 play for you. And after that, I do think I'm going to go Kyren Williams. I'm a little worried when Kupp comes back, if he comes back, that this team offense is just going to look a little differently. And again, we can't really trust like the Rams as a whole. I feel like they can't trust their running backs, but he looked good. I think he passed the eye test, Kyren Williams. So he's my number three.
So basically, get a running back. There's about six or seven guys, and they can all be something good. So we named our top six, and it seemed like our top three, and it seems like we named six different players. So yeah. So I think what we're learning here is don't spend big on anybody in Fab. Someone's gonna be out there. You can get one of these six and be okay. So no one's gonna be break the bank worthy, but you know, put some minimal bids in. You know, some lighter Fab bids before we get the major drop of the pin that's going to come later in the season.
So as far as dropping guys with some of those, because obviously with you know every pickup you got to drop, I guess do you guys know where that limit would be? Like Sky Moore was absolutely terrible this past week. He was somebody that you're going to get in one of your last picks. You know, you dropping him for all these running backs.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I love to buy in on the Chiefs wide receiver and hope I get somebody right, but I've just accepted it's going to be Kelce, Mahomes, and then one receiver each week, and we can't predict what it's going to be. It could be Moore, it could be Kadarius Toney, it could be Rice, it could be Noah Gray for all we know. It's just going to be a mix and match, a second target, and I don't want to stash the guy. I'd rather get someone who can help me right now. So yeah, I'd be willing to drop him.
What about a guy like Singletary, Mario? Would you drop him?
Oh, Singletary, I may want to see a little bit more out of. My big thing is when it is just the 1 week, it is tough to say, but Houston is just so abysmal with their offense, right? And then Pierce did seem like he was the guy, and even in that situation, I'd probably hold on to Singletary. You know what? I'm talking myself out of it. Like Houston, right? How many Houston fantasy players are you really going to feel comfortable rostering? You know, you don't want to be the guy. Like I remember, I think 2 years ago when Jacksonville was bad, you know, the Urban Meyer season. And it's just like, why do I have so many Jacksonville Jaguars on my team? It's like, it's just not right. So yeah, the Texans are this team this year. So see you, Singletary.
Yeah, so let's get over to our priorities at the wide receiver position. Another one that there's no extreme major, like you need to get this guy, but we have five or six guys on this list who all had extremely impressive debuts. And Brian, we're going to start with you. Who of these receivers, who impressed you the most? Who are you making the most priority to get? And are they a higher priority than running backs for you at this point?
Oh, man, I feel like it's hard to make this argument without throwing out Puka, the rookie for the Rams. 15 targets. Like, I the argument's just right there. I don't care how bad he caught 10 of them. But 15 targets is unreal. 78% snap share. And I think it was a great point. Cooper Kupp, we're just assuming he's back after 4 weeks because that's what IR, the limit is. This guy's getting older. This could be limited. Like, who knows? I think Nacua is a great pickup this week. If, you know, you did fine running back, you avoided some injuries, you don't really need some depth. I think this is the way to go as far as what's sitting out there, because at least the next 3 weeks, if not 4 or 5 weeks, this is going to be the guy. Because Van Jefferson just, I had hopes, but he's just the talent level's not there. He's just the guy.
Yep. Yeah, Puka, like you said, the 15 targets tied for the most in the NFL at the moment, tying Tyreek Hill. Nearly a 40% target share in this offense. So absolutely force-fed. We know Matt Stafford's the kind of guy that loves to force-feed a player. Yeah, the fourth largest ever target share by a rookie wide receiver in week one. Say that five times.
Even Zay Jones on that list, right?
Yeah. Zay Jones is
like
on that list.
Like we all predicted.
Yeah, that's who, recurring guest basically is all the times you mention him here. But yeah, so Puka's probably my number two, actually, I would say.
So Mario, you teased it. Who was your number one then?
If you get some over Puka,
I'm kind of with Brian. I kind of need Puka on my team right now.
Puka's great. I'll say my number one, probably, maybe a little biased because I've watched this game, but Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne looked like the guy. And I'll say, listen, Mac Jones did throw the ball 54 times on Sunday. I don't think he's going to do that every single week. But Bourne got 11 targets, 20% target share. That's a large sample size, 54 targets, 54 pass attempts. You like the large sample size. But to me, he just passed the eye test. He had great footwork. He caught two great touchdowns. One was in the perfect corner, and he just did a great job dragging his feet. Like I said, to me, he just passed the eye test. It just seems like seeing is believing. Big downside. They're not going to pass the ball 50 times a game. That's for sure. And I think that the Eagles secondary just wasn't as good as I expected as an Eagles fan. But Kendrick Bourne, he looked good to me. I think he would be my number one guy. Rostered in 2% of Yahoo and ESPN leagues.
So I'll be judge. I'm still going Brian for Puka as my number one. But Kendrick Bourne did impress. The thing that concerns me with New England is they just brought in Juju Smith-Schuster in the offseason. Devontae Parker was out with an injury. I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing, so he'll be back in that mix. We saw what they have to use Hunter Henry. We'll cover him in a bit as well as possible streamers. There's a lot more names. None of them are going to emerge as a star, but there's a lot of guys who can take that spot. I wonder if he's just a one-week blip considering the injuries and, like you said, having to throw the ball 54 times. If Bourne shows off again next week, then, yeah, I think he gets belongs to the even further on his list. I'm not ready to buy in and make him my top priority in terms of the names that are out there in New England when Puka is competing with Van Jefferson and Tutu Atwell. Not as much of a competition as you would in New England, in my mind. And a team that will likely be throwing more with the Rams.
And the rookie, was it second most routes for the Patriots as well. He can catch the four targets that he had, but it seems like they are trying to work him into that that rotation as well.
And I know Ben Brown would be very disappointed if we didn't mention Demario Douglas. He had a solid debut, 4 receptions on 7 targets. He's playing in there as well. So, Ben, we hear you. We're going to mention him as a possible Patriot pass catcher. But I'll highlight a name we mentioned last year. If you listen to the show enough times, Mario and I must have said his name. There's 18 weeks in the season, 15 times. And it's Zay Jones. 30% roster in Yahoo leagues, but 7 targets. They're second on the team. And you saw it when they ran 2 wide receiver sets. It wasn't Christian Kirk that was out there. It was Zay Jones. And Christian Kirk was only playing pretty much exclusively from the slot. And that's going to hurt me because I have a good amount of share to Christian Kirk while everyone was buying into Calvin Ridley. I got a few shares for Ridley, thank God, but I was getting some Kirk later, being like, you know, he's still going to be involved in this passing game. And maybe it's just Zay Jones. Maybe Zay Jones is actually the number 2 receiver on this team. So 5 receptions on 7 targets. And that beautiful touchdown catch we mentioned last week. This is another team we know is going to be throwing a lot. We're all expected a huge step forward from Trevor Lawrence this year. If you can find the number 2 receiver on Trevor Lawrence who's going to push himself into that second tier of quarterbacks by the end of the season, I'm buying all in on that. So I don't think I'd put Zay Jones at 1. He'd probably be 2 behind Puka. But he's I wouldn't say a priority, but he's someone, if he's out there, you should try and get roster now and try and buy before other people realize that he might actually be the number 2 on his team.
Well, guys, I think we'd kick ourselves, too, if we didn't talk about, in a lot of leagues, there is a number 1 receiver sitting out on the waiver wire. Jacoby Myers. He is rostered in a higher amount of leagues, but this is Garoppolo's number 1 guy. Now, the targets broke down. He had 10. Davante Adams had 9. But McDaniels is making it easy for Myers. He's sending Davante Adams out deep where Garoppolo can't throw the ball. So who's there to catch it? The bread and butter that McDaniels works with, slot receivers. You know, he loves himself a slotty receiver. He's got Hunter Renfrow, his prototypical that he had in the, you know, the Patriots regime there. And then he's got Myers that he brought over from the Patriots. I think we have to worry about him going into concussion protocol, especially after last year and all of Tua's debacles. We're seeing guys now miss sometimes one, maybe two games because they're that extra cautious. It would be interesting to see what we see this year. But Jacoby Myers, 9 catches, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. He seems to be Garoppolo's favorite just because, you know, he's not more than 5 yards away. Garoppolo can make
it. He can reach him.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. Monitor that closely. Myers is currently in the concussion protocol. That was a pretty nasty hit. I was scared for him after that. I thought it was going to be a similar situation where we might have to see the card just how things went. Luckily, he was able to walk off on his own power. Hopefully, it's... My obviously concussions are concussions. I'm not sure. We don't make light of. Hope it's a minor one, and we'll see him out there next week. But definitely a great name to bring up. Mario, you have any other honorable mentions? Brought in Jacoby Jones, any other, or Jacoby Myers, excuse me, any other receivers you want to throw out there?
Yes. So my last honorable mention, and this guy's also in a pretty crowded team, but Rashid Shaheed for the Saints. So 16% rostered in Yahoo, 2% on ESPN. But he had his 5 catches on 6 targets, 89 yards, and a touchdown. He did have a fumble, but he was the team's highest scorer with 21 fantasy points. And you have to think, you know, he has Michael Thomas, who is a shell of himself, but still pretty competitive out there. Chris Olave, Kamara when he returns. So there's some downside there. But like I said, he was the team's highest fantasy scorer. He had the 4th highest yards per route run for a rookie last year. Higher than his teammate Olave, who's going round 1 and deeper leagues, round 2 in most leagues. So I think the value is really good there. And like I said, rostered in Yahoo 16%, 2 in ESPN. So he's almost certainly out there for you.
Yeah, man, I'll wrap up the wide receiver position with our first edition of we're mentioning this guy in 2023. If you listen to us enough last year, Mario and I always had that one guy who we were like, how the heck is it 2022 and we're still mentioning this guy? And it's Allen Robinson. He led the Pittsburgh Steelers in targets. And Diontae Johnson is dealing with a hamstring injury. And it didn't look good. He immediately grabbed that and was laying on the ground. It would not shock me if he misses week 2. And if you saw the Steeler game like I did and watched every snap of that garbage, they're going to be throwing a lot because the O-line hasn't fully improved. So it should be improved. Maybe it's because it's playing the 49ers, but they're playing the Browns again this week, who, like we said, just dominated the Bengals. So are the Steelers going to have to throw the ball more? Potentially. So a number 2 target on a Steeler team that could be throwing for a week. It's ugly. I put probably most, if not all of these guys ahead of Allen Robinson, but if you miss out on a receiver and you need a desperation play for week 2, I don't think he's terrible. I think he's a pretty safe bet for, you know, 10 PPR points, 5 catches, like 50 yards, something like that, 4 catches, something like that. You could do worse than plug him in a desperation if you lost out on a receiver like a Diontae Johnson or any other receiver injuries that I'm just not having off the top of my head right now.
How did that feel saying that?
I feel a little dirty. I'm not going to lie. I might need to take a shower after we record this. It doesn't feel good. I didn't think I'd be hyping Allen Robinson up, especially in week 2 of the season. But yeah, this is where,
that's for sure.
This is where we're at. I had to do a double take when I saw him catch a pass. And was like, oh, right, we got Allen Robinson. I forgot about that. But we won't spend as much time on these guys, but we like to highlight a couple streamers at some of the other important positions as we get closer to the week. You'll get a full article on all of these positions throughout the week, but we'll might as well give a quick introduction to it. And we'll start at the quarterback position. So, Mario, let's kick it off with you. Your top streaming ad for quarterback this week.
Yeah, so my number one guy, Jordan Love, spread the love. I'll admit I was a little bit of a Jordan Love doubter. Just going into this year, I wasn't too impressed in his few little spot starts he had last year for the Packers. And I don't want to overreact too much because it's the Packers and the Bears. You kind of always know how that matchup goes, tale as old as time. But he was a number 3 quarterback, and he's rosterless. And about a third of leagues, 31% rostered in Yahoo, 16% ESPN. He had 27 pass attempts, 15 completions, three touchdowns. You like to see that. He found the end zone. So, like I said, I probably wouldn't blow all of my fab on him. I wouldn't blow my, like, if I have the number one, maybe number two waiver priority. I'm really not going to spend it on a quarterback this early in the year. But I'll say, you know, if you have someone like Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson didn't look too good. Geno Smith didn't look like his old self. Danny Dimes. I mean, even Dak got, what, 6 points this week? I don't know. I know a lot of people out there maybe only draft one quarterback. So if you have somebody, like we mentioned earlier, like a Singletary, like a lottery ticket that you just feel like, hey, I can kind of trash this, pick up Jordan Love. I think he'd be a good stash.
Yeah, man. For this coming week, he plays the Atlanta Falcons, improving on defense, but they're still maybe not fully there where they're, you know, an avoided matchup. So that's not a bad streaming play. And there's upside for him to be, you know, possible QB2 or maybe even the streaming QB1 the rest of the way once Christian Watson gets back and those weapons continue to improve. So I like that call. Brian, any other names you want to throw out there as a streamer for the coming week or just someone you want to have the rest of the season if there's anyone at quarterback like that?
Brock Purdy, I wasn't a huge believer going into the season. I wanted more for him to do a pretty good job proving it to me. And I think we saw a lot of what we saw last year. So I think consistency is going to be there. He is rostered in just over 50% of leagues. But, oh, boy. I can't even get it out here. But Derek Carr, I think he's got a decent matchup. He didn't look great in this game this week. But I think he has so many receiving options, and this team is going to be on the field enough that he will get the volume, especially going against Carolina this week. But if you are looking for your set this week at quarterback, you're not quite looking to stream, I think Taylor Heineke is going to be a guy to grab. Ritter is not going to hold on to this job very much, unfortunately. But they won this week, so it's going to give him a few weeks of wiggle room. But he did not give us excitement at all. 18 passes, that's horrible. Heineke's not great. He is one of the best backups you can have, but he is so much more exciting for this offense. And I think he'll be a decent streaming quarterback going into the future. So if you're in a deeper league or you've got the bench space, maybe he's somebody you should be looking at.
Yeah, and you mentioned Brock Purdy. He goes against the Los Angeles Rams this week. That is a great matchup we saw. I know Geno Smith struggled against him, but it should be a good matchup. So I'm not ready to fully buy in after 1 week. So I love the Brock Purdy call. I love the Derek Carr call. I like all of those calls. So if you're desperate for you need a quarterback or you have some of those tougher matchups, there's a couple names to keep in mind going forward there. Move over to the tight end position where we always are trying to stream. And let's face it, a lot of teams are streaming them right now with the possible lengthier or possible injuries with Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews. Obviously monitor those situations closely, but they may miss another week. So we may want to find some replacements. So Brian, if you're looking to replace one of those guys or streaming the tight end this week, who is your favorite name out there?
Oh boy, streaming tight end. That's the fun of fantasy football here. I think if you are looking, I think Jake Fergalicious Ferguson, he didn't have a great outing, but you tell me a tight end that did have a great outing this week. I think the upside that you're going to get with Ferguson is just the targets. He had 7 targets, only pulled in 2. But we've seen in the past, Dak loves himself a good tight end. And I think that you could do a lot worse out there. Sam LaPorta, for rookie, he was great as far as exposure. I think he had 4 catches for 4. Yep. Or no, he was 5 for 5 this week. So I think he's another great add as well. And Juwan Johnson, you know, I'm gonna stay on the love of the Saints, I guess. You know, he didn't have a bad day either.
Yep. Mario, any other names you want to highlight?
Yeah, I love Juwan Johnson. He was another one that we like peddled every single week on this podcast last year where it's like, why is he below 50%? Like we said him every single week. I don't think he hit that 50% threshold by the end of the year. So shame on the listeners. But so two guys, I got 3 guys, but I'll be quick on them all. Hayden Hurst, number 2 tight end this week. He led his team in targets. He had the 7 targets, 5 catches, 41 yards and a touchdown. This kind of like the old saying that rookie quarterbacks love their tight ends. They kind of love that safety blanket. So I see him getting used a lot there. Downside, of course, rookie quarterback. So he was the number 2, number 1 tight end back to the Patriots and Mac Jones, but Hunter Henry, number 1 tight end this week, 6 targets, brought in 5 of them for 56 yards and a touchdown. kind of mentioned it before that Mac Jones ain't throwing 54 times a game every single week this week. But Hunter Henry was kind of somebody who I feel like last year was – I was boom bust, but I feel like that's all these – like this is the tight end tier where it's like they'll get you 2 yards or they'll get you 50 yards and a touchdown, which is enough to win the week at tight end. So this one I'm a little bit more skeptical on. So Hayden Hurst above Hunter Henry. But the last guy I have to mention, just the Eagles fan and me showing some love to the former Eagle, Zach Ertz. 5% rostered in Yahoo, 40% rostered in ESPN. I couldn't believe the disparity in there. So, I mean, I guess they have him ranked very differently. But another tight end that led the team in targets, 10 targets. The next highest was Hollywood Brown with 5. That's a huge difference. So I think that, you know, there is a little worry about he had the torn ACL last year. So, and the team's probably going to be pretty bad this year. But I think he is someone with just a lot of upside, right? Like, I'm not sure if Kyler Murray's coming back. If he is, I don't know if that's good or bad. Like I said, Hollywood Brown had 5 targets. I think that would go up with Kyler. But I think Zach Ertz is probably the most exciting out of these three guys. And one last downside for Zach Ertz is I can't name the Arizona quarterback. I don't know if you guys can, but like I don't even know who's throwing the ball there.
Josh Dobbs.
Josh Dobbs exactly. Or Clayton Toon or some other practice squad guy that ends up coming.
Where's
in there,
Colt McCoy?
Where's he at? Yeah. So the team would have been too fun with him.
That just made no sense, but hey, you know what? It's 2023. Not a lot of things make sense, but we know what the Cardinals are shooting for, and it's a new quarterback in 2023 or 2024, excuse me. But speaking of the Cardinals, we're going to wrap things up with the streaming defenses portion. They're playing the New York Giants, so if they're sitting out there, you might want to get the New York Giants, but do we think the Cardinals themselves are a good streamer? I saw it on the list, and they're playing the Giants.
It sounds crazy because we just talked about the Cardinals, and you know, I think they're a bad team, but this is a spicy one to start with. 1% rostered in Yahoo, 0% in ESPN, but they scored 19 points against the Commanders last week. And listen, I'm not saying the Commanders are a good team, but I was shocked to see that. And they're playing the Giants. We saw looked abysmal last week. The 7 sacks, 3 fumbles, 2 picks, a couple touchdowns. I'm not saying they're going to get all that. And they did kind of boost their score by also getting a touchdown on the defensive side. But we saw the Giants. They looked bad. I think if I'm feeling extra spicy and I just have, like, nobody I'm, like, in love with, I don't have a Cowboys, a 49ers, kind of one of those plug-and-play guys, why not? Why not throw a dart at the Cardinals?
It's a spicy one. It's definitely a spicy one. Brian, any other defenses you are loving for streaming this coming week?
I've got a handful of them, and roster percentage is low on all of them. I love the Packers against Atlanta Falcons. That defensive line looked great for the Packers. The Bucks function so well on defense. So I think them going against Chicago, who doesn't seem to have any idea what the hell they're doing. And then the Colts. I can't stay away from my boys, but they are so turnover prone. They get the ball. They bust it out like crazy. Shaq Leonard's back there. EJ Speed. Like, they've got some playmakers as far as turnover. So I think you're always due that touchdown upside with the Colts. And they're playing a rookie quarterback in CJ Stroud. Maybe the 2nd overall pick, but still, he's going to have his problems there.
Yeah, some exciting names there. I think there's plenty of options for streaming defenses and all of the positions. It's been, an interesting week. We got a lot of names we're going to be keeping an eye on. And wrapping it up as we're recording this with the Aaron Rodgers one that may steal the headlines for the time being. But any interest in Zach Wilson? Zach Wilson, you want to plug him in the rest of the season?
He had a good throw to Lazard, I'll say that. But is that enough?
Probably
not. Yeah, week one's just an exciting time. There's just something about, you know, the guys who have, if it's just their one good week, but it happens to be week one or players are down, like we saw Myers was just like the guy. And it's just like, why did I draft Devontae Adams in the 2nd round? I got Myers and, you know, the 8th, 9th. So I don't know. Week one is one of the most exciting times. It's just everything's so up in the air.
Yeah, it's been a great week. It's great to have the NFL back. And I'm saying that even after you guys talked me out of my hole I was in after the Steeler loss. I'm back. We're going to come back with Cleveland in week 2 and everything is going to be okay. But that's going to do it for this episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. Before we go, let's plug where we can find ourselves on Twitter. You can find the show at the QB List. We'll be having those articles, like you mentioned, the streaming QB, streaming defenses, betting articles, start, sit, what we saw. Lots of great content over there. If you want your football coverage, obviously QB List is the place to be with the rankings and everything going forward. But where can we find you guys on Twitter and any other exciting work you got going on leading up to next week's episode?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Mario O'Donnell Jr. That's probably the best place to get your weekly dose of Kyle Pitts is droppable. I was on that hot last year. I'm on it hot again this year. It's still ranked.
Mario,
true,
you're going to be disappointing me. I have a share of Kyle Pitts this year. He's
I am
in one of my home leagues, and I feel like I should have learned something from you last year. And it's just
I said it every week. Oh, my gosh.
Then he fell to me in like the eighth round. I'm like, well,
fell on Jeff. Yes, it's just, you know, I took Taylor, Jonathan Taylor in the third, and everyone ridiculed me for that. And, you know, I guess they're basically doing the same production for the first 4 weeks. So I'll say that. At least you got your guy in the eighth, and I got mine in the third.
Yeah. Brian, where can they find you on Twitter and any other work you got going on?
Yeah, you can find me. I'm going to be at @too_much_Brian on Twitter. Most other platforms, you can find me there as well. Look out for my streaming tight end article hitting QB List this week. We're going to have lots of fun with all the grenades that are just sitting there waiting to blow up in your hand. You know, the fun of streaming tight ends. I'm going to be all over. I'm excited to be here.
Yep, you joined the... join the show and they stick us with us idiots and threading about tight ends. That's what 2023 brings you. No, we're excited to have you. It's gonna be a great season. We're excited to have third voice here. You can find me at @Callan_Osliger. I have no particular article. Like I said, I'll be contributing to the start sits every week. This week I am writing about the Brown Steelers game. So if you got any questions about that one, hit us up on the Reddit thread or anything like that once we post the article. And as always, you can talk to all of us in the QB List Discord. You go to pitcherlist.com or QBList.com/plus. You get PL Plus. You'll have access to the Discord where you can speak with us. We'll answer all start sit decisions, trade questions, just general football talk. Sundays are awesome in that chat. Everybody's just talking about every single game that's going on. It's a lot of fun. So definitely if you want your football coverage and anything else going on in life, we'll have channels for it. So be sure to join those and have access to everybody on the staff to deal with the nonsense that comes with all that. But welcome back, football. It's been great. Hopefully we can get some good news about Aaron Rodgers, because I don't know if I want to take a full another year of watching Zach Wilson play every week. But once again, thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.